Welcome to this week's episode of Get the Fork Out. This week we have my friend Nina Wilson. She is the crew chef on the gram and on the YouTube. And she's awesome. We met about 2017 around there. And
yeah, that was it.
Hi, Nina. Welcome. How you doing?
Hi. I'm great. I'm really good.
Where are you?
I'm in LA Beach. Well, firstly, thank you for finally asking me. I've been seeing you having all these awesome chats. I'm like, finally. When is Brennan going to ask me? We go back.
we do so go yeah, back. Thanks. Yeah.
I am in LA Beach right now visiting my family. So I'm in my family home. I'm taking some time off with Australia.
Well, not everyone's gonna know. I know, but not everyone's going to know.
Australia, Queensland.
Australia. All right. Well, I'm in the north of the northern hemisphere and you're in the south of the southern hemisphere. So very different places in the world. I'm in Stockholm.
Yeah, it's really hot here.
Yeah, it's freezing outside. There's snow on the ground. Yeah. Yeah.
There is definitely no snow here and I am sweating. So
sweat. I haven't sweat in a while. When you and I met, I was temping on Amaryllis. You were full time and you were a wonderful female deckie.
You're being a bit generous with the adjectives there. I think I was a little shit.
Well, I don't know. I didn't work outside with you, but I don't know. You were just a breath of fresh air, positivity, those nice things. And so let's start with, like, how did you get into yachting in the first place? And then how did you transition from deckie and then eventually in the galley and into this, you know, kind of magnificent YouTube channel that you have too? Like, love your stuff.
Thank you. So basically my parents did yachting like way back in the late 80s.
Wow.
Yeah. So my dad was an engineer. My mom was a stewardess. So when we grew up, we're looking at their photo albums going, that's a cool place. They're like, oh, that's some Barts. Oh, that's a cool place. You know, that's Tahiti. Yeah. Yeah. So they told us about the industry. I basically got into the industry, me and my sister, straight after school, pretty much. Yeah. Okay. Just like, boom, straight in. I actually started as a stewardess. I didn't enjoy being a stewardess. I think I was on a boat called Mariah, which is 55 meters, a junior stew. And in my breaks, I was always going outside helping the deckies. And then the chief officer said, hey, next season, do you want to be a deckie? And I was like, can I be a deckie? Like, yeah, yeah. So then I did a couple of seasons as a deckie. You know, I did my yacht master. I started my OW tickets. And that's when I met you, actually, just before I went to do my yacht master. I'd come into the galley and I think I had a deal going where I'd exchange, like I'd tell a joke and you guys would give me some food if I remember correctly.
That sounds about right. We had an owner on for a while, right? It was like 50 days.
Yeah. The owner was on for ages. That was a pretty dry trip. So yeah, did that. And then I met my now fiance, Chris, in Florida when I was on Amaryllis. Thank you. We both came back to Australia to meet my parents and stuff. And we got a temporary job here on a sailing boat with only two crews. So one person had to be the captain and one person had to be the chef. And I was like, well, I'll be the chef because you can't cook for shit. So I was just loving cooking. I was really loving it. I was loving the creative side because all through school, I did art, I did drama. I was a very creative type person. I did media, the video stuff. So I was like, you know, maybe I should follow this kind of career path instead. Went to Ashburton Chef's Academy. So I asked a couple of chefs. I asked like Sam Molyneux, some other friends, like, where should I go? You know, he's the head chef on BR, Baton Rouge.
Yeah, but I just never met him. I just see him online.
He's a good guy. He's real good. Sure. He's got a crazy story. You should get him on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he has a crazy story. Yeah.
Any other ideas?
It involves vegan butter, a lot of vegan butter.
All right. Sounds like a very specific story.
I've been sidetracked here. Asked Sam, he said go to this school. So I went there and then started looking for a job as a sous chef. And I was really lucky. Got a job as a sous chef on a 70 meter private. So first job cooking for 20 crew. Oh my God. That was a tough job. Did a few temp gigs from another boat, went on to Ariens, worked with Dean, had like the best season ever working with Dean. Loved it. And then worked on Revelry when it was a small boat. So that was when it was 45 meters. And then the owners upgraded and I got moved into the head chef role, which is amazing. And since then,
yes.
Who knows?
And then, but you were your head chef with a second chef as well, which was awesome. And that's like, you two in the videos are hilarious. And it was just cool to see you graduate up to there. And I remember the video where you like, you showed how you kind of like, you had like a dog box area and how you gutted it and organized it and bought new containers and stuff. Like, I think that's the nitty gritty kind of aspects of what we do that I don't think normal people would even imagine, you know, like, or, you know, cleaning out the walk-in and shit like that. And yeah, it's part of the job.
Like the really unglamorous side.
Unglamorous side. Yeah. Yeah. I think I should do a video on just like pots and pans in the sink after service. Like, yep. Yeah.
I can remember once posting a story after a lunch service. We had guest lunch at like 5:30 and then we had crew dinner at 6:00 and it was just like the entire galley was trashed. And I remember posting a story and Dean being like, shouldn't you film that? I'm like, this is real life.
Hashtag real life. In those situations, I bump crew meals. I'm like, hey guys, sorry, just can we do 6:30? Because just that when they're on top of each other, it's so hectic. It's so hectic.
It's so hectic. It is.
Yeah. So you're in media before yachting. And then what got you into, kind of give us the timeline, the breakdown of your quite successful YouTube channel and editing
that would
video
be,
and
Well, I mean, I always loved, like, I was that kid in school that had the video camera and was filming things and then making little videos for assembly. You know, when you go sit into assembly and then the video pops up, and I used to have assembly news. So I'd go around and someone would present assembly news.
Oh my, nerd alert. Love it. But
yeah. I loved it. And also I had a friend locally called John Naylor who would film like Channel Wit Sundays, just promoting local events and stuff. And he, like, when I was 13 years old, he like gave me a microphone and was like, you can present this. So I was just there like, you know. So from that, I was pretty confident in front of a camera doing like MC stuff. I used to like MC local carols events and fashion events and stuff. So when Jared came on board and when I was on Ariance, Jared Watney came on board and his whole role was doing the filming. And I was like, this is really cool. You know, I never actually thought about doing it myself just because, you know, we're chefs, we're busy. We're busy, busy, busy.
It's a time thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big time thing. He wasn't on for the Atlantic crossing. He gave me a camera and said, can you film the Atlantic crossing? I was like, absolutely. Gave it a crack. You know, on crossings, we have a bit more time. There's no guests on.
Yeah.
He didn't end up using the footage. So I asked him, I was like, can I make a video from this footage and post it? I entered it in the Adrift film competition. It didn't win, but after that, I was like, oh, I'm going to post it on YouTube. And then 3 months later, Chris's friend in the UK, who has nothing to do with yachting, sent him a message saying, why am I seeing your girlfriend on YouTube? And I had no idea that it had just kind of taken off.
Really?
Yeah, I had no idea. I have like, I do not disturb on my phone. I think it had hit like 300,000 views and I didn't even know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I posted another one that I filmed. You know, I think it was just like a really niche thing.
Yeah.
You know, food.
But people would have had to, and this is probably going to bore the shit out of everyone about the back end of
the
YouTube,
algorithm,
like, the algorithm, the mighty algorithm. Like it must have pinged up on everyone's searches somehow.
Yeah, I think I follow impressions a bit more now, but back then I probably would have known, you know, maybe it was something to do with that. But yeah,
or just people watch the whole thing. I think that's the thing that
and comment.
I've learned. Yeah, that's the thing that kind of what you learn where the algorithm really only, the only thing that's important is like that people like your shit. Like that's the only thing that matters. You can try to trick it if you want, or just do they watch the whole thing? That's all that the algorithm actually cares about. And comments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comments, likes. Yeah.
Shares. Hit the notification bell. Oh, I hate all that shit.
That's why I don't do it. It took me a long time. I think it was only in like my 10th video. I was like, remember to subscribe. And I was like, have I done that?
Ugh, who am I? Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah.
So it's come.
From, remember to subscribe to Brendan's YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah. Olive oil and gasoline, everyone. Remember to like and subscribe.
Can I just interject here quickly? Tilly, who I was working with on Revelry.
Yeah.
So she always refers to you as olive oil.
I'll take it. I prefer gasoline. Yeah, olive oil is fine.
Yeah, because we listen to a couple of your podcasts in the galley and like I'll chat about you or whatever. And she'll be like, oh, olive oil is blah, blah, blah.
That's the first.
She's going to hate me for saying this. She refers to Josh as the hot chef.
Josh. Which one is Josh? Josh King.
Josh King. He's like hot chef.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to make sure I tag Josh and Lily in that comment. Jokes. That's funny. Yeah, that was a good interview with Josh. Like there's some really cool and I think that's probably and you're one of them. It's probably why I do this channel, is that I just feel like I know a lot of people in this industry that have amazing stories to tell and come from different backgrounds and hecticness and also, you know, suppliers and anything that goes along with food and just spreading knowledge. And it's really fun for me and I always learn something.
Well, the Galley Refit one. That's really cool.
Yeah. And that was, that came from me like doing a refill on 86 meter fed trip with no resources at all. I'm like, well, now I have the resources and I have a YouTube channel. I might as well just share them so that people want to search it. It's there. And they can always get in touch with Dirk or me. And it's quite daunting. I feel like when you get a refit where you're like, okay, what do I do now? Yeah.
It's massive. You know, if it's similar to planning a wedding, I think.
<You're> like, probably, yeah. I've never done this before.
What am I supposed to do? I have to make decisions like now? Yeah.
Yeah. Months ahead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Months ahead. Literally.
Yeah, that was a good one. The new build one was good too, but no one's going to really watch that, I don't think. And refits are going to be more common, I think. The new build one was interesting as well.
Oh, bring on the new builds. I mean,
what's that?
Bring on the new builds.
Yeah.
New builds. The world is ready for them.
Yeah. New builds are so gnarly though. I've never been more stressed in my life than on a new build. Yes. So, all right. Everyone thinks that new builds are these like perfect scenarios. New builds are rarely finished to the nth degree. There's all kinds of warranty work and shit that doesn't work, like main systems. The owner's expectations are through the roof. Of course, they've spent hundreds of millions on this shit. And it like barely works. Yeah, literally. And it like barely works. And the crew is scrambling. The crew, you know, the organization isn't set in yet because there's been no use yet. Everyone dreams of new builds, but like the crew that built the boat rarely make it past the first year. That's a true statistic.
Yeah.
It's messy. It's real messy.
It's like you're the guinea pigs that go in first.
Yeah, you're the trailblazers, and a lot of the pioneers didn't make it. They did not make it. No,
they fell down, they fell by.
Yep, they got mauled by bears. Lots of terrible things happened to them. What's your plan? What's your plan now? So you're no longer on Revelry. You've moved on, and you are looking for let's do Nina's ideal job.
Nina's ideal job. It's always changing. I mean, the reason we left Revelry was basically because in a whole year we only spent 4 weeks at home in our house.
Oh,
like in a whole 12 months. Yeah. And we were kind of going, oh, this is not sustainable for us as a couple, for us, for our mental health, for anything like that.
Yeah, of course.
We approached them about the option of going rotation. They said if we could, but not now, it won't be for another year or so. And we were like, we can't do another year.
Yeah.
And you know, we had reasons we need to go home. I'm submitting for my UK visa. And my passport's no longer with me. It's away. and I need to see family and stuff. So basically the next job that we're looking for is going to have a good work-life balance. So cute words of rotation.
Yeah. I feel you. It's pretty, it's worth holding out It's definitely worth it. I held out during COVID and was lucky enough to get Arians, but it was hard to turn down work, but you kind of have to stick to your guns to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am thinking, I am in a tricky situation where I have my wedding in September. And I want to do like lots of stages and courses and things like that. And some things with the YouTube channel. So I'm thinking maybe I'll freelance until the wedding and then see what happens. Because after that, Chris will have his master's ticket. Maybe we look at a smaller boat. We don't know yet. But one thing is for sure, I am definitely, like, I'm still like committed to the yachting. I still love the buzz. I love the lifestyle. I love the money.
So back to my question, ideal scenario for a couple's job on the same rotation. Would you do sole chef again, or are those days over?
I think if it was a small boat, it's like kind of like 40 meters max, I'd do sole chef rotation, but ideally I'd like a head chef role.
Yeah.
I don't know, to be honest, I'm still finding out for myself.
Okay. Honest answer.
At the same time, I'm still also thinking like go even a bigger vessel, like 100 meter plus, and go on as a sou under a head with a crew chef. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and there's all those scenarios out there as well.
Because boats are just getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, this is true. And I more power to the sole chefs. Like I did it for 10 years as a sole chef warrior, as they still are.
Just a little flex there. Subtle flex.
Well, only because I'm about to trash it, because I'm about to be like, I have to go in positive, because I think it's a really hard job, and it's a job I would never want to do again. It's really hard. So much respect to the people that are doing it, but gain that confidence and then try to find those roles that you have someone helping you in the galley, because it is a shitload of work for one person.
Yeah. I only did it for 6 months and then they upgraded their boat. Oh, I was super lucky.
Yeah, you got lucky. Yeah.
I got but real now lucky.
Now you got the experience. Like, just go with it. Just go with it.
But we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. I think that freelancing is a good idea.
Here we go. Massive dream. I get approached by a production company, say, look, we want to film a TV show. You can present it. You design it. Do whatever you want. That would be a sweet job.
What kind of TV show?
Like a food and travel show with maybe some bungee jumping and motorbike riding mixed in.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. That sounds like something I would want to do too. That sounds really fun. So you could still link it up with yachting. Cause I think as difficult as it is, I think to get like the NDAs and stuff to film on a yacht, I think because of, dare I say, below decks, I think it's a little more attractive than it ever used to be, in terms of if a production company was able to convince an owner, they know they'd get the views, because people are just frankly curious about the yachting industry in general.
Madly curious.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a really interesting thing, the whole creation of Below Deck and how it's kind of given the industry an image in the way it's kind of handy, because people, when you tell people what you do, they're like, oh, like Below Deck, whereas, you know, 5 years ago they're like, you work on a cruise ship, you know.
Oh, but you said exactly what I say, and it's like, you just hear so many cruise ship stories. I'm like, that's just not at all what I do. But I don't.
It's complete opposite.
Yeah. Never been on a cruise ship.
No. Me neither. Okay. I want to go on one. I want to go on one.
I do too. But they always launch into cruise ship story number two. You're like, fuck me. Okay. I'm going to stop you there. It's not what I do.
The buffet was insane.
And then we went to the fjords. I'm like, oh, God. Okay. Yeah, we didn't get off the boat, but we're travelers. Anyway, enough slamming cruise ship people.
The newlywed and the nearly dead.
Yeah. I went to the all-inclusive resort for my 40th birthday for the first time ever, and that was actually really, really fun. But like my cousin's like my brother, and his wife did all the research. So we went to like a brand new resort, and then I had a couple of chef buddies that came too. Like there was a good squad. But me and my chef buddies were like, fuck me, the food is really, really good here. Like,
what?
Yeah, the Italian restaurant, banging. The Mexican restaurant, of course, it was in Mexico. Of course, the Mexican
food
was banging. Like, the French, I was like, crushing it. I think it was because, like, the first 6 months they opened there, really. Yeah, it was really good.
Pushing it.
It was fun.
Hey, yeah, that's so good. I'm actually so glad you had a really good experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It was because it's like, it's, you've known me for long enough. You've seen how I travel on a motorcycle. That's not at all what I do, but it was super fun. It was just easy. And that's why everyone does
yeah.
it.
You know, like, I'm trying to picture you in an all inclusive, but you know, we all have our
reckless.
Sides.
It's reckless. Yeah. Yeah. I made up a drink. Yeah. I told the bartenders a drink. Yeah. It's, there was a foam party every day. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty full on. Pretty full.
Foam people still dangerous. Do those things? People every still day. Do foam parties?
Every day in the pool. Yeah. You can die in foam, believe it or not. Yeah. It's pretty, if it goes over your head, say goodbye to seeing where you're going and breathing. You're
I'm like blind. Half the size of you, so I would be dead before it even reached your like navel.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd be tripping over you, and I'd be lost, and yeah, it'd be messy. It'd be messy. But let's see. So let's talk more about like your ideal travel show. Let's brainstorm an ideal travel show for Nina. So motorbikes.
Ideal travel show. Yeah, motorbikes. Bungee jumping. Bungee jumping. Or we're on a sailing yacht, and we're sailing down, or we're sailing around Tasmania, or we're sailing somewhere. That'd be cool.
That would be cool. But expensive.
Yeah, because then you,
what if you're working on a sailboat?
I actually just
now we're below deck sailing.
Interview. I actually just interviewed for a job on a sailing boat, but it was a no from me.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, I would love to work on a sailboat, but they're always small for someone my size, and pay is not as good, and galleys aren't as good.
I'm trying to actually imagine you in an Amel's 55 galley.
I've done it. I've done a 55. Yeah.
You know, Tilly and I, we're like both very small people. So that galley was okay for us. The coffin I designed for people mine and Tilly's size. However, the chef that's replaced me is not mine and Tilly's size.
Oh, yeah. Because I couldn't turn around in there. I don't know what.
No. It's like a one-way street.
yeah. No, that's hilarious. I love that episode too, because I was looking at it, I'm like, that's so small, but it's perfect. It's so organized it perfectly, but I'm like, I couldn't turn around. I couldn't get out, much less a handful of shit, you know, like.
You know what? I was like my good thing, which I was really proud of myself for, was I put all the paper towels like immediately near the door. So you don't even have to go in to get the paper towels. Cause you know, when you run out of paper towel, you're usually in a rush.
I need it now. Yeah. I need that. Now I needed two more paper towels right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of design shit like that, where it's what I need the most is as close as possible to me all the time. And then the farther it radiates away from me is the shit I use the least. That's equipment and supplies and
when I first got on Revelry, I ordered some meat glue because I had like these crazy ideas that I was going to be the type of chef that uses meat glue, and in the end it was like the furthest corner of the dry store, and every time I went back to like restock the like panko breadcrumbs or something, I was like, oh, there's the meat glue.
Yep, transglutamase, there it is. They're gonna fuck with it. So you're on a sailboat,
that's on the list.
Cruising down, bungee jumping. So you and I have both been to Alaska. So what are your thoughts on Alaska? What was it experience for you?
Alaska was completely out of the blue for us, because we thought we were doing a Mediterranean season, and then the owners, being American, they couldn't get to the Med. So it was like, we're going to keep the boat in the States and we're going to take it up to Alaska. And we're all like, yes, this is so cool. It's like off the beaten track. We went through Panama, you know, we stopped in San Diego briefly, went up to Alaska, and we were in Alaska for 3 months based out of Juneau. And because we kind of did the same trip a couple of times, we saw the same glacier like five times, South Sawyer Glacier. And each time.
Not Tracy Arm?
No, we didn't get a permit for that, I think.
Oh, really? Okay, South Sawyer.
Oh, sorry. We did go up Tracy's Arm, but in the tender.
Yeah, that was.
You got to remember, like, I was in the galley for a lot of this.
Same. We all have these ideas that we're gonna see cool shit, but it's like, no, because you're only doing cool shit when there's guests on. That means there's people to feed. And so we don't, but sometimes it's even the shit out the window is worth it. Or you're like, oh, this is sick.
It was. We lucky, like the galley door was, you know, it's on the side deck, it's the crew entrance door, and we could just run out onto the side deck and look and be like, ah, there's an iceberg, you know, stuff like that, which is really good. Yeah. And the people we had on board were very welcoming for the crew to come on the tender for little scenic tours and stuff. And, you know, I just want to say a special thank you to the whales of Alaska, because they would always plan their feeding right after guest lunch. So we would be done with guest lunch and then they would put on a show. It was so convenient. We could actually come outside and watch them bubble feeding. It was amazing. Yeah.
I'm going to send them a message. That's nice.
If you just let them know, just hit them up being like, thanks, dudes.
Yeah. What kind of whales were they? Because there's a few types up there.
Yeah, humpback whales.
Humpy.
So we saw it three times on three separate occasions where, you know, they do the big ring of bubbles and they all come up like.
Oh, it's so cool. Yeah. I wanted to hear your impression first, but it's my favorite spot I've been to in yachting. Like I did it one summer and then flipped around, quit that boat to go back on another boat that was going to go back up there. Blew my mind. Loved it up there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I loved it, but I did find like the produce situation really dire.
Oh, it's terrible.
No,
it's wretched because it's like they don't supply stuff that people aren't going to buy. And like the people that live in Alaska, like, God bless them, aren't real big, like green juice, microgreen kind of folk.
I was super lucky to find a company. So like our provisioning run, because Tilly and I did it ourselves, we'd leave at like 7 a.m. in the morning in the crew van. And we'd go to like Safeway first. We'd go to Fred Meyer. Because like one place would have half of the stuff. The next place would have the other half of the stuff.
Yeah. And you have to find deliveries as well. Because they don't come every day.
We just kind of had to go when we had to go, which is a bit of a crap.
Very true. But Juneau's the only capital city in America that you can't go anywhere else by road. Like
Juneau is on its own. Everything comes by ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So we'd hit up Costco and then we'd hit to this place called Panhandle Produce, which had microgreens and lettuce because they had like a hydroponic farm there.
Yeah, it is. It's so I think I was there in maybe 2003, 2004. Doesn't sound like it's changed that much. It's as far as salmon, halibut, kind of meaty, steaky stuff, easy.
Yeah. Like reindeer crab. Sausages.
Best crab in the world.
Insane crab. Oh. Such good crab.
Yeah. Spot prawns. How good are those?
So kind of good. So in like so sweet. We have, they're so plump. They're so cute. we had like some super keen fishermen on board and they were like out fishing every day, shrimp pots out every night, crab pots out. We actually had to ask them, please stop catching crab. You can only catch crab if you're going to pick it. Cause it just
to catch crab. At first?
No. We had like six crab the first morning. I was like, I know, lucky. In the end.
We were screwed. We got these. You saw the starfish, like the most horrible alien starfish in the world with a 32 legs? Not five.
Yes.
32. And they're 32. Slimy. They're not small. They're like, bah! And your whole pot
they're like
is
really
full of
fat
this shit.
And chubby as well.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not nice. They're from another planet. So then we figured out, just lay your pots next to the commercial pots. And then we started catching them.
We also
broke the law. Oh, that's cool. We broke the law a few times where we would take the pots up, the commercial ones. Not my idea. But then we would take an empty water bottle and stuff, like a couple hundred dollars in the empty water bottle and chuck that down the trap. Yeah.
That's kind of a cool idea.
As long as you didn't get caught doing it and then be like, wait, we're going to pay. So we,
And then they bring out their firearm.
Yeah, exactly. Because we met these cool crab fishermen and they'd be like, look, people like, they pull my pots and they drop a bottle of Jack Daniels. Like, I fish with my family. This is for money. Like, I don't need a bottle of Jack Daniels. So we're like, okay, all right, cash. They do it for cash, not whiskey. It makes sense. Yeah.
I'm reading between the lines here.
Yeah. But
no, the fresh seafood was insane. Like they caught this huge halibut. This halibut was literally 6 feet long.
Wow. Did you guys weigh it?
No, we didn't have like a scale on board, but like one of the deckies
Yeah.
lay down beside it and it was the length of him.
That's awesome.
And the
Those big ones
fillet
are
was
they're
like from my shoulder to my, like, it was ridiculous. It was that fat. It was like my face fat.
They call those barn doors because it's like
Yes,
reeling
the
in the barn
Pacific one.
door.
Yeah, the barn door. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had halibut for months.
We always had halibut.
So
Yep.
I actually wrote an article about it in Doc Walk about the, 100 ways to cook a halibut because we had it
Yes.
for crew lunch every day.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of a similar story a lot of people tell about their Alaska adventures, like salmon halibut every day, salmon halibut.
Every day. We I was more like rockfish halibut, rockfish halibut, rockfish halibut.
Yeah. I can't remember rockfish, but I don't know. I'm sure I had
They're
it.
really, really
We
ugly
only got one
bastards.
halibut. I think I caught the only halibut that season. We got skunked on halibut, but we did well with the crab. I was cooking crab in seawater. Did you try it?
Yeah, we no, it went wrong.
Really?
Yeah, we had this big beach barbecue and we're gonna do like a crab boil. And the deckies thought they turned the gas on the pot, but they didn't. So when I arrived, the water was just stone cold.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think it had just blown out or whatever.
Yeah.
So in
Yeah.
the end, I ended up just doing the crab on the barbecue.
Oh, it's all right.
And all the other crab I just steamed in the rationale.
Did you get any good king crab while you were there?
Only like frozen.
Yeah.
It wasn't this, yeah. Funnily enough, all the
And
king crab we got from Costco.
yeah, I get it. I get it. I was spoiled. Like I was seeing a girl while I was there, and I got invited to a wedding, and holy shit! So I had king crab that was like brought out of the water that morning and then steamed and brought to the wedding, and it was in a big like a Rubbermaid trash can, like a halfie. And it's just full of crab
What?
legs. And I ate like one bicep of the crab. And I was like,
Yeah.
holy shit. Because that stuff that's pre-cooked, that's frozen, is completely fucked. It's been overcooked by someone that doesn't care. Then it's been frozen. So all the cell structure's ruined by the ice shards going through it. And
Yeah.
then you got to cook it again to warm it up. And it's just foul. But to have
But
king
fresh, cooked
crab
fresh.
fresh, it just like it's even hard to get out of the shell. The meat goes poot all the way against the shell. It's banging. A little
Interesting.
pro tip, you can order it from certain provisioners raw frozen. That makes a massive difference.
I did get some raw frozen from a provisioner. I don't want to say their name because they really messed up my order. But I didn't rate it.
No? Oh, I loved
No.
it. It's so much better
It
than the cook
was,
shit.
I think it was because it had probably been like frozen defrosted, raw.
Ew. Oh, so it stank.
I just, it was really just fell apart. It had no
Yeah,
structure.
that's the thing. It does stick to the shell like crazy. So but the moisture and kind of the fat content, like everything is still there. So you can use it for stuff like what's that, like Nobu New Style, where you like shred it and cut the shell all nice, put it back in the shell and dump like really hot sesame oil with ginger and
Oh,
chives. Boom.
yeah,
Yeah, so
that's
you can
true.
do stuff like that, but yeah, it's quite tricky to get out of the shell. I probe it in the rationale too to 50 degrees. Seems
Oh,
kind of
that's a
quick,
good
so it's just
idea.
like done. Yeah, it's really easy and it's done
The stuff we were
fairly
cooking in the
quick.
rationale was just the like the Dungeness crabs, because we had
Yeah.
so many of those.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Did you ever freeze one and then if you put them in the freezer whole and alive, and then you can let them thaw out and they crawl around again? They come back to
You're
life.
shitting me.
No, that's their life. They live in the Arctic cold. So you can like put a leash on them. You can do whatever. You
I mean,
can
to be fair,
also.
what I did to them was no better because I was like skull capping them on the bollards on the swim platform. So, yeah.
But yeah. And you can also give
Yeah.
them a couple of steak knives in each claw, and then two of them can
Fine.
fight each other. Yeah.
Yeah, you got bored in Alaska, didn't you?
Yeah, one season was a bit like much. You know, one season was like we had free time and we were like fly fishing,
Yeah.
taking seaplanes and fly fishing down a river, had time to date someone, and then the other season was like, no, it's just work. It's just work. So when it's work all the time,
yeah,
Brendan goes a little kind of over the edge and he makes Dungeness crab, take knives and fight each other, which they don't really fight each other. I mean, you can't, steak knife is, it's never going to pierce.
Yeah, but I can see you. You're there and you're like putting money on it. You're like, yeah, I'm it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that place though. It's so wild. It's such a, it, yeah. Not to talk about my Svalbard adventures right now, but they connected in the same sort of like, this place is dangerous. There's a lot of,
yes, it was that genuine around. Thing where you go, you think you're just going to go for a run after work, but you're like, I've actually got to take bear spray with me.
Yeah, am I all right? It's getting dark.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's similar in Australia. I mean, I was driving home last night and the snake was crossing the road. I was like, I better stop for this snake. You know.
Really?
Oh, did it
then attack your car?
No, it didn't.
No.
It moved.
That's good. That's good. So what's next for the YouTube channel?
And
I've always wanted to ask you because it's the crew chef, but now you're a head chef. So how do you feel about the title and everything?
It's really hard because that means rebranding. And
yeah,
I'm not a huge expert on all that. I think I will have to change the name eventually. You know, when I quit yachting and all that kind of stuff, but it's just such a good handle, you know? You want to hear the story about the handle?
Yes.
So my friend Rosie Dunningham. So I just had my normal Instagram, which I will not mention because it's private.
Don't you have the stuff on that. Instagram too?
Yeah, no, I did, but I had like a personal one, like a Nina one. I saw my friend Rosie. She was called the Crew Chef and she posted crew stuff. She had a blog, she had a website, everything like that. And then one day I saw she changed her name to Rosie Dunningham Chef. And I was like, jumped on, stole the handle, messaged her saying, look, just so you know, I've taken the Crew Chef handle. Is that okay? She's like, yeah, fine, hon. And then started posting my crew food back on Hasna in 2018, I think it was. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Crew Chef. So,
and at that stage, like, no one was posting photos of crew food. So it was like, well, who I followed on Instagram. So it was like kind of a me and all the crew chefs posting photos and sharing them for inspiration, because things can get pretty dry when you're cooking for crew.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like seeing, I mean, all the social media is so inspirational too. Like, it just, so many ideas just pop in. And I think as a community, just globally, not even just yacht chefs, but people that cook in general, like the amount of knowledge that gets passed around just makes us everyone better. Just makes everyone more
proficient. Yeah, just makes everyone better. And like, you see trends come through and yeah, I find it like a double-edged sword. Sometimes I'm watching, you know, like Mikhail and I'm like, shit, I can't do that. You know, and you're like, ugh. Yeah.
The trend that really rubs me the wrong way is gold leaf. I just like, that was a big in the 90s, but now the younger chefs have never seen it before. So they think they're being bad. And I'm just like, oh, it's so terrible. I don't want to eat metal in the first place. It doesn't.
I did put out upon request, a gold wrapped sushi roll.
Okay. Upon request. Yeah. It's upon request. I saw a cool technique. I haven't tried it before, but like, I got a little demonstration piece here. I just pulled off the 3M, but like, you take the gold leaf and you float it on water and you can like dip a bonbon through it and it wraps it perfectly.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fucking sick. But again, I don't want to eat metal. I try not to.
Heavy metals.
I don't want to eat metal.
Bad.
So what's coming up on your YouTube channel? Like, what's new? What's the new hot shit?
What's coming up? So I've just been in Tasmania with my sister. We did it. Oh, I love Tasmania. Have you been to Australia? Have you been to Tasmania?
No.
Asia. It was so close. How did you not make it down here? Brennan, you're bad.
COVID. So the idea was to get my bike from Bali. Well, from Indonesia, probably from Kalimantan or from Flores or from the other one at the end, I can't remember right now. I can get the bike to Australia. But I mean, how am I going to do that now? It was a pain in the ass back then where I'd have to scrub the bike for 5 days with a professional just so there's no microbes and shit. And then now it's like Aussies can't get back into Australia until quite
recently. Well, yeah, they can. The border opened up 4 days ago. You're fine.
Oh, you make it sound like it's been fine the whole time. You guys have been crazy there. Crazy. No, I haven't been to Tasmania, but I really want to.
This
go.
Is my first time back in 2 years. I refused to come back when it was quarantine requirements. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I've been in Tasmania with my sister. I basically planned us like this mad road trip down the East Coast, eating at lots of really nice restaurants. So I filmed that. We did some oyster tour. We went to some, really cool farm to table restaurants. And I did a stage at the Agrarian Kitchen, which I just loved. I was like, I want to work here.
Yeah. How long?
Yeah. Just to explain, only 4 days.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was amazing. I mean, they're only open 4 days a week. So I got to, you know, their prep day, service day, and then they had an event. So I got to watch them do a wedding, which is amazing as well, because obviously I'm planning my wedding. So I'm like, uh-huh. And the next video is on that. And I did some cooking down there, which I filmed.
Wicked.
So yeah, I'm really excited. It was beautiful down there. And just the whole, like on boats, especially in Alaska, so out of touch of, you know, seasonal food, growing farm to plate, that kind of stuff. Oh, they are
I love it.
They are all about it in Tasmania.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like this restaurant has a farm like 7 kilometers away and then a garden in it, like right next to it. And the chefs pick that morning what they use.
Hectic.
Like
that is so probably cool. One of the worst parts about cooking on a yacht is to not be connected to actual farms. Like there's no connection whatsoever, or very little rather.
No.
Yeah.
And it completely ignores the seasons because people want, you know, green salads with avocados and cucumbers all year round and you're in the Caribbean. And
why does these tomatoes taste like shit? Well, it's March.
It's March. Why does this, you know, rock melon taste like dirt?
Oh, that's how it's so much easier than bed in the summer. It's like, oh, everything tastes great. Just chuck some olive oil and salt on it and it's done.
That's what I mean, luckily in Alaska the climate was quite cold, so it kind of suited itself to more cooked vegetables and things like that, so you could get away with doing more like winter style food, which was lucky. But yeah,
were there many Tasmanian devils all around?
Yeah, there
are. Any?
No, but I did eat a lot of wallaby actually.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe it. Like.
Is it a marsupial?
It's like a small kangaroo. It's a small kangaroo. Yeah, it's a small marsupial.
Wow.
So there was like a lot of... No, there was a lot of wallaby bolognese going around and a lot of like wallaby wings. So they get the like the shoulder and like the first joint of the wallaby, like the little wallaby arms. And I think they braise them and then they deep fry them. So they are amazing. You're picking up, like eating it and you see its little shoulder blade. They were really good.
Wow. Yeah, I'll try that. I couldn't try, you know what I couldn't try that was in Svalbard? Whale and seal. Couldn't do it. The ethics behind the whales. I'm just like, oh, I've seen the videos. Like it's like, you know, you question your meat eatingness when you see how cows are slaughtered and pigs are slaughtered, chickens. But yeah, they take forever to die. It's a bad, they're super intelligent. I eat bugs. I'll eat anything. Like I love that shit. Any intestine, offal, organ. But ethically, I feel like the whole world stopped eating whale for a reason, except for up there. I don't know. Couldn't do it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
First time ethics stopped me from eating something, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm a big, but I wanted to try. I'm like, what does a sea mammal taste like? But still, like, ugh. They take like.
I just imagine it as like a really, really fatty fish.
I think it's lean.
Really?
I think it's lean. I think, yeah, because they have a layer of fat on the outside, and I think they're super muscly, but I don't know. I bet there's different cuts, too. Yeah. Different parts of the whale. Yeah. Anything whale. Besides wallaby that you ate that was challenging in Tasmania?
Not for me personally. My sister and my sister's friend, you know, pretty new to some of the seafood. So they were trying like sea urchin for the first time or squid for the first time. But, you know, that's just really fun to kind of introduce people and to take them.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to like there's some really nice restaurants where it's a 13 course meal and they're like, what is that? You know, just eat it, just try it. It's like in a setting where everything is new and exciting and it feels high value and high quality. So people are more conducive.
Yeah. Uni's a tough one for a lot of people. It is seafood times 10. I love it, but I can see, I've watched recently some people try it for the first time in Barcelona and they're like, wow, that is strong. I'm like, super fresh, super good. It's just incredible.
I think I'm fine with that. The only time I really have struggled is when Neil, you know, a chef abroad, Neil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He took me to oh shit, yeah, you did. We went to Enigma together in Barcelona.
I'm so bummed it's closed. I heard it was fucking awesome.
It was like amazing, equal parts awesome and challenging for me. A, because we were both really hungover. what idiots? Who does that? And B, because I ate four different types of brain. Like, and they,
What animals?
The first one is just like this small wooden plate, like board, and it's just got a prawn head on it, like a completely raw prawn head. And you can see like, that's the bit there and that's the brain. I was like, whoa.
Oh,
like
did it in one.
And when I bit it, the brain just went like, and then I was like, but I kept it down. Yeah. And then it was like rabbit brains, which look like a little walnut and they don't tell you and they serve it to you and they're like, guess what brain it is? You're like, oh.
That's a fun game to play with a hangover. Guess what type of brain it is.
I was like, how can you do this to me? And then it was a lobster brain and then I can't remember the last brain, but yeah, the lobster brain was also a no-go for me.
That's usually the part you clean out.
Yeah, it was like a very small like part of the brain on like a consomme of some kind, so
it wasn't the coral. I mean, we also it was the head.
It was a bit of the coral. I just like the brain.
All right, it definitely looks like a brain.
It looks like a freaking brain. And we also did the wine pairing. So, you know.
Yeah, got back on it.
Yeah.
No, everyone raves about Enigma. We just went to Disfrutar and Las Artes when I was there. They're both very good. I don't think I'd go back to Las Artes, but Disfrutar, I would go back. That was quite fun. Yeah, it was good. But Enigma, sorry, I missed it.
Yeah. No, it was amazing. It was really cool. It was certainly an experience, which I enjoyed all for the more for Neil being there because he's like a really great guy to go out for dinner with. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I miss dining with chefs, you know, especially and I love taking crew as well and kind of helping them through challenging situations on a tasting menu or something. But it's really fun to go out with chefs and there's always so much shit talk and just,
so much shit talk, and it kind of sometimes turns into a little bit of like a pissing competition. It's been like,
So when are you coming back to the Northern Hemisphere? Any plans soon?
March 19th.
When are you gonna start freelancing? March 19th. That's exactly when I'm going back to Barcelona. And you're gonna head to the Caribbean, or are you just gonna like probably head right to Europe and just set up shop there?
No, head to Europe. So my partner and I have just bought a house that needs renovating. So we're going to do that. And I've got my ship's cook certificate booked in.
Mm. Oh, you've got to do that.
Well, I've got my Cayman Islands one.
Yeah.
But then I'm just going to do the other one because also I said I'd film it for YouTube. So they offered me a good discount. So
who are you doing it with?
Leith's.
Okay, I don't know. At least it's not. There's one in particular where I'm just like, the one that pushed it on the industry and made it a thing again.
Yeah,
not them. So yeah, well, that's cool. At least you get in for free because you don't actually need it. As long as you have one, as long as you have some sort of certificate, no one really gives a shit. Or if you have level three food hygiene.
It's yeah, it's good. I'm looking forward to it. It's good content.
Yeah. And I think
I'll probably freaking fail it now. I'll be like, shit.
I should have paid more attention instead of filming. Yeah, it's because it's going to be, yeah, I heard it can be challenging depending on who you do it with. And you're like, you set up a really esoteric test. Like, thanks. What does this prove?
Yeah.
Like,
make a croissant. What? Yeah,
make puff pastry from scratch. Okay, sure. No problem. Figure it out. But why? This is a testing. This certifies me to cook on a yacht. Like, come on. Yeah, well, I think that'll be so cool for content as well, because everyone would love to. It'd be like almost kind of a preparatory YouTube you could watch before you did the course or before you took the test.
Yes, there are kind of some strict rules. Like, I can't show what I'm cooking. So I'll have to be creative with what I film.
Just put an emoji over it of like a chicken. And
yeah,
like chicken underneath it.
I'll do a time lapse from really far away. So you'll see this or something like that. Yeah.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
So March 19th. Yeah. So pretty soon you're coming back to Europe. I'm excited for the season, actually.
Yeah. Need any temp sous chefs?
Maybe.
Let me know, because I might freelance. We'll see.
Yeah, I'll talk to Captain Dino about it. That'd be kind of fun.
Have you
we're getting
a refill. You still have Jamal, right?
Jaleel, yeah. He's gonna be gone.
Oh,
but
Jaleel, sorry.
My next stint will the galley is gonna be in and out of service. So yeah. So with the paint and the refit, I think there's gonna be a lot of days where there's not gonna be much work. So and then in June I'm off again.
Wow, it's a tough life being a rotational head chef, isn't it, Brennan?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. People try to make me feel guilty about it. I've been doing it 20 years, so everyone can suck it. I've earned it.
Flex.
What do you want me to, like, is that, like, I feel like, especially like junior crew, they act like we all drew names out of a hat and I just got the lucky one. I'm like, no, sorry. It's just, you've been yachting for 5 minutes. You relax. You'll get there one day. Or you can leave.
Are you going to pat us patronizingly on the head as well?
Probably. Yep, probably.
Yeah, yeah,
you
probably
know me.
Are.
You know me. Yeah.
I mean, I'm coming up on 10 years next year.
Yeah. When I said you, I didn't mean you specifically, but just it's always the second year steward decky being like, oh, it must be nice. I'm like, yeah, you should have seen me 15 years ago, how nice my life was. Yeah. Yeah.
You get Wi-Fi and flights home.
Yeah,
and mental health days.
Mental health days, yeah. No, but the rotation life is awesome. I kind of wish I, for a while, I didn't want it. Like I was given an opportunity for it on, I guess I could say Magumbo, and I said no, I want 4-2, because I'll spend too much money, and you do spend a shitload of money. But the work life balance is awesome, so that when you are working, it's so much nicer to not be burnt out towards the end, you know, of to not do a 5-month charter season in the med and just like come out a different person at the end. Like, who am I? Why do I do this?
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't so bad. Yes. I'll do it again. Why not? It wasn't so bad.
God, no. Just awful, isn't it? It's seriously like the burnout that I had after doing the sous chefing for 20 crew. And even though it was only a private vessel, we had guests on for pretty much the entire season. So in like a 5-month period, we had 2 days off. And I took 5 weeks off after that. And for the first 2 weeks, all I did was lay in a hammock in Nicaragua, surf in the mornings and read my books in the afternoons for 2 weeks. Like that's how long it took me to get
that
back.
That sounds about right. And then you can start to think about food again after that. Just give me 2 weeks. I don't want to think about.
I didn't even want to eat
food. Yeah.
I didn't even want to eat. Yeah. Yeah, it's such a weird, toxic relationship that, well, not toxic, but it's a very weird relationship you have with food when you work in the galley. I think I remember when I was in Onariance and Dean had hurt his shoulder. So he had like the first charter off. We had a chef come in. The charter guest didn't like him. So he had to leave halfway through the story. Charter. Yeah. Oh. And then I was left by myself for a period of time. And then we had a lady called Panya come in, who incidentally was the first female chef, head chef that I'd ever worked with in the entire career of yachting. And she was like the most chilled cat ever. And she, I remember her saying to me, she's like, I work better when I'm half full. Like, you know, when the tank is half full. And I was like, whoa, I never thought of it that way. But yeah, it's true. You kind of just like, I think when you're too full, when you've eaten a big meal, I'm just like, oh, I can't look at food. Yeah. I don't know if it's different. It must be different for different people, but you know, you're just like this weird balance of tasting everything all the time. So you're never actually full, but you're never actually hungry.
Yeah. I experience that a lot where you're just tasting and then, And then you realize an hour after your shift, like, I am actually really hungry. I never actually ate today. I just tasted food and kind of fooled my body into thinking that you've eaten.
Yeah, exactly. Or at the end of your shift, you're just there like stuffing your face with the guest leftovers and you're like, oh, I ate way too much.
Yeah. I usually just make like a dirty sandwich. That's like, it's such a shameful, like I spent all day making nice stuff and now I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Ham and cheese sandwich.
Cheese toasties. Love a grilled cheese toastie. Yeah. I do keep like a little stash of those mee goreng instant ramen noodles in the cupboard just for that.
Yeah. Just so quick, like carbohydrate boost.
Yeah.
They're a crowd favorite too. Like the crew smash them when they're hungover. And I do too. Like they're just so good. They're so tasty. And you can add extra stuff. Like, oh, it's good.
It just makes me think of like working on Arians and Dean, and his go-to was just like tater tots. It would be like we'd come home from a night out in Barcelona or wherever we were, like drunk, and he would switch on the deep fryer, send everyone a photo being like tater tots in 15, and he'd just deep fry plates of tater tots and put truffle salt all over them.
Hell yeah. Oh,
God bless
That's
you.
That's a crowd pleaser. Yeah. It's a good idea. I'm usually the last one home though. That's the problem.
See, he would go home deliberately to make that, and then everyone would kind of follow him.
Wow. So. It's really nice. I should try to be a nicer chef. I'm going to take note. I'm taking note. Yeah. It's a good idea. It's easy. Everyone loves it. Everyone is going to be better off the next day if they've eaten something.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole like, you know, cooking and eating and cooking and all that kind of stuff is an interesting one. Because I get a lot of the time, everyone's like the comments on the YouTube, you know, never trust a skinny chef.
Oh, fuck that. It's one of the best chefs in the world. It's like rail thin. Tell Grant Achatz he's not a good chef. Like, stop.
He's like literally like a rake. No offense to Grant.
And when have you seen like a real fat ass chef be any good at all? Like, it's too
fat. Matty Matheson?
Come on.
I love Matty Matheson.
He's kind of annoying and he's a YouTuber though. He's not the same as like a chef, is he?
I concur. No, he's all right. What about Bronson Acton? He's another YouTuber. Hey, isn't Matty Matheson Canadian?
I'm not sure. I don't watch him. I can't stand him.
I think he is.
Could be. I don't know. It's not why I don't watch him. I love Canadians.
Well, no, he is pretty annoying, but I just chucked him out here because he's the only like chunkier chef that I can think of.
Yeah. Before he got canceled, and for all the right reasons, Batali was quite big. It just doesn't happen that much anymore. It's usually just such a like long days. I think it's hard to put on weight. Like you're just 18 hours a day cooking. Yeah. I can put on weight though. At the end of the
chart, you know what it's not good for? It's
10 kilos heavier. My back is like rounded. My arms are all spindly, and I've just been like cooking for 3 months. Like, it's not a good look.
Yeah, but then you go motorbike riding and you get it all back.
Well, at the end of one season, I was like, fuck this. And I bought a motorcycle and I bought a bicycle and I rode from Antibes to Barcelona. I bought all the bags and I just, I'm like, we're going to do this quickly, Brandon. It's going to be fun. Damn it. It was good. It was very fun. 800K. Yeah.
Jeez. No, really no cool. Thanks. I'll stick You'd to love my, it. My daily. Yeah, maybe.
It was fun. It was like a motorcycle trip, but slower. All kinds of random shit happened. It was fun. It was good times. Good way to get fit.
Quickly. I think I'd just prefer a motorcycle, if I'm honest.
Yeah, they're very fun too. Mine's getting rebuilt right now again, but hopefully this guy'll do a better job. Oh,
mine's in the garage and starts like a dream every single time. Can't fault it.
What are you riding? What do you have?
I've got a little. It's not even for my. It's a CRF 125. So it's a little Honda like trail bike.
Oh, fun.
Mm.
Is it a two stroke or a four stroke?
No, it's a four stroke. Okay. And it's got an electric start.
Hell yeah. No, hell yeah. I was driving a 125 around Bali and I weigh four times as much as you and it was still a lot of fun.
I think that's a bit of an exaggeration, but.
Four times, five times.
Yeah. No, I'm like 50 something. I'm like 53 kilos.
Okay, more than double then.
Okay. I'm denser than I look. Is it Chris? Whenever Chris picks me up, he's like, "You're really heavy. You're quite solid." I'm like, "I'm not sure that's the kind of thing you should be telling your fiance, darling."
God, you're like a what's it called? Like a what happens when a star goes out? Like a die with the density of a dying sun, something like that.
Like a black hole? What the fuck?
Dude, they just snuff out and this horribly dense thing of magma. Like,
you know you can do that when someone tries to pick you up. You like really do you know that?
Not many people try to pick me up.
That's probably what happens. Yeah.
It does happen. Yeah. It does happen. It's always a deckie. It's always yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's I doable. Bet, yeah. I know, but it's a young deckie and they're usually South African.
South African first officer was the last one, but I worked with this dude. She was a beast. I mean, super like fit and strong. She squatted me twice in a bar in St. Paul's.
Where were you? Were you like fireman? Yeah,
I was over her shoulders, which I mean, I'm about 110 anyway. So even with a bar, I think that's tricky. I think that's a lot of weight. But because I'm like this awkward big human and she's
crying, you're like a sack.
I could feel her whole body shake and I was like, wow. Not once, twice. Yeah.
I am so impressed.
I was very impressed. Yeah. I was very impressed. She did well.
But it's amazing what like determination makes you do.
Yeah, and she's a very just a strong willed woman in general with a lot of stuff and in all the best ways. And she was not gonna not do it. And I think one of the reps, like her back was round a little bit, like I could feel it. I'm like, oh Jesus.
You're careful, gonna give this girl careful. Like a fucking
It's such an awkward. I couldn't imagine squatting me. I don't even know if I could. Like it's just such a big, like
humans are hard to carry. You can I can back squat like 60 kilos, which is, you know, 110% of my body, you know. Yeah. I'm sure you could. Yeah.
I just mean in the weight, you know, not on the as in a human form and not in a bar form.
Mm.
I don't know. We've got
because humans are messy. Sorry. Sorry, this is like a conversation that I would be having with Josh because Josh is just obsessed with freaking weightlifting on the ledge.
Yeah, he loves CrossFit. Yeah, I'm glad you guys got to meet. I still haven't met Josh in person. There's been a few people on the podcast I haven't quite met yet, unfortunately.
I feel really lucky because for some weird reason, I know a lot of chefs in kind of like the connected. So like I used to work with Sam Molyneux. I used to work with you. I know Josh, I know Dean, I know Neil. Just randomly, I don't know how. Like I worked with Sam Molyneux when he was a deckhand on Mariah. Like they employed him as a chef. They employed him as a chef and then we had a full galley refit. So then he had to become a deckhand for like 3 months. And I was like, yo, shit.
Oh my God. I want to hear that story.
Sorry, that's Sam. You have to get Sam on. You really do.
I will.
He has got some stories.
Yeah. And then we won't do it now, but any other ideas, just shoot them my way.
Cool.
Like I wanted to do, ideally it would be like half chefs and half suppliers of any sort, but they're actually quite hard to find suppliers. So I kind of need to lean on the chef community more to give me more supplier ideas. Cause then it's nice to hear chef stories, but it's also nice just to learn more shit about food. So I need to focus more on that, I feel like. But I will definitely get Sam on board. Yeah. And I have a couple other people coming up too. But yeah. Well, Nina, we've overshot the hour by a bit. So we should probably.
My apologies. It was all the back squatting chat.
Back squatting, yeah. Back squatting and Tasmanian chicken wings. Hungry. Very hungry. I might smash some chicken wings right now. But
why are you fasting?
I don't know. I just feel like it's just the challenge I want to do. Yeah. Yeah. Some days I don't eat until like 9 at night. Yeah.
I think we should talk about this off air.
You don't? Yeah. I think you're right. I think that's a good idea. Thanks for watching, everyone. We got off topic a little bit, but as Nina, it was very good to have you on. And I'd love to have you on again as soon as your next YouTube hits or, you know, some other time when you're on your freelancing gigs, you let me know. But it was a pleasure having you on, Nina. Thanks.
Thanks. I would love to be on. Cheers.
All right, guys. That's it. Thanks for watching this episode of Get the Pork Out. See ya.